Today's Old Testament reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
New Testament reading, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. For every high priest chosen among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, You are my son. Today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. This is the good news according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of the disciples. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days he will rise. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Jesus, and they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Who is the GOAT? That's an acronym for greatest of all time. I suppose it's most closely associated with the sports world. Muhammad Ali said he was the greatest. And I suppose as far as boxers are concerned, he probably was. When it comes to football, Tom Brady. I see a few yas there. Others might say Patrick Mahomes. Basketball, well, it's either Michael Jordan or LeBron James. Some say that Nikola Jokic will be the greatest of all by the time he ends his career. Baseball, Willie Mays, Ted Williams. As far as a gymnast is concerned, how about Simone Biles? Michael Phelps in swimming, he has 23 gold medals. Have you heard of Caitlin Clark? A few of you? She just set the collegiate record for most points scored for both men and women. And she still has another year of eligibility left. And oh, did I mention she's from the state of Iowa? As far as an investor is concerned, how about Warren Buffett? Or if we're talking about the greatest intellect of all time, maybe Albert Einstein. Who is the GOAT, greatest of all time? Well, the GOAT would be determined, I think, by whatever metric you were going to use to determine greatness. Speed, strength, athletic prowess, wealth, power, influence, IQ, or how about clicks? Jesus had something to say about who is the GOAT, didn't he? The greatest of all time. Mark chapter 10, verses 43 and 44. But it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must also be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. I'm sure that when the disciples heard Jesus talk about greatness like this, they were shocked. Nobody had ever talked about greatness being measured in terms of servanthood before. In the Greco-Roman world, that would have been considered utter nonsense. The Greeks prized human reason, and so they worshiped the philosophers like Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, and the Greeks idolized the perfect human form. And together with the Romans, they also glorified military heroes. The Greco-Roman world rejected our Lord's notion of servanthood as being a measure of greatness. In fact, we might even say they looked down upon servants and slaves, let alone hold them up to emulate. And our Lord's idea was not well received among the Jews either. Hadn't God liberated their ancestors from slavery? in the land of Egypt? Why would you ever want to hold up a slave or a servant as being something to strive for in terms of being great? Jesus rejected the world's standards of greatness. When he called the disciples together, he said, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you." It's not about power or position or prestige. Jesus said it's about being a servant. Wow. And he gave himself as an example. He says in verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And the cross was the apex of servanthood. The Greeks and the Romans thought this was utter foolishness. And to the Jews, this was a stumbling block. But you know, according to Jesus, the great person is still at the peak of the pyramid. It's just that the pyramid has been inverted and turned upside down. And don't we say of Jesus that he bore the weight of all human need? And so we can imagine that inverted pyramid coming down to Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, who gave his life for us and for all upon the cross. That's greatness in the kingdom of God. That is counter-cultural to every single society and culture that I could ever think of. What Jesus has to say about servanthood here as being a measure of greatness comes within the context of him giving what is known as the third of his passion predictions, of when he tells the disciples it will be necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and there he will be rejected, he will have to suffer, and he will die. And you may remember that the second time Jesus told the disciples this, the disciple Peter came up to him and said, "Lord, this is never going to happen. I will not allow this to happen to you." And you remember how Jesus responded? He said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." So laser focused was Jesus on that mission. So Jesus tells the disciples for a third time in our gospel reading for today that it's going to be necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and carry out these things, resulting in his death. And it went where? Right over the disciples' heads. And what a contrast between what Jesus said and then the request of James and John, two of the three disciples who comprised with Peter the inner circle of disciples. They were arguing about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And it's like, they asked Jesus, "We want to be the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense when you set up your kingdom." Whatever Jesus had to say about servanthood, they completely missed the boat. This is not a good look for James and John, is it? They wouldn't want to be remembered this way. They would have been embarrassed, terribly embarrassed later in life, knowing that this is what they had said and did. But you know, Later on, they did get what it meant to be a servant. When Jesus was on the cross, which disciple did he turn to entrust the care of his mother to? It was John. And of all the 12 disciples, only James is the one mentioned in the New Testament to be a martyr, to die for his faith. John goes on to write the Gospel of John in those three little letters we call 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and also the book of Revelation. He gave us about 15 to 20% of the New Testament. He became a leader to the Christians in Asia Minor. So both James and John finally did get it, that being great in the kingdom of God has to do with being a servant. Servanthood calls for an attitude, maybe for an attitude readjustment, an attitude of humility, of not thinking too highly of myself. It calls for a setting aside of myself so that I might be of benefit to others. And servanthood is a lifestyle that needs to permeate every one of our relationships, marriage, family, congregation, job or occupation, our neighborhood relationships. My wife and I were blessed with three daughters. Our middle daughter lives in Boise, Idaho, and a number of years ago we went there when she was graduating from the school she had attended to become a dental hygienist. And if you would have asked me when Rebecca was growing up what occupation she would wind up in, I would never have guessed that she would have chosen to be a dental hygienist. But I'll never forget, at her graduation exercise, she was one of the students that was asked to speak. And so she talked about, you know, what it was like to go through the program there. And then she said, "And the reason I want to be a dental hygienist is so that I can serve people." That just blew me out of the water. And I was so proud. You know, it doesn't make any difference whether a person is a janitor or a CEO or anywhere in between. It doesn't make any difference what your calling or station in life. It doesn't matter about anything like that. What counts is, do I see myself in a role of where I can be a servant? It's a challenge to adopt a servant attitude and lifestyle because it goes against the grain of our human nature. The Augsburg Confession, the Lutheran Confessions of Faith, talk about how the condition of original sin, you know, the condition of sin that we are born with, that we inherited, it talks about how that is like being curved inward on ourselves. And when we are curved inward on ourselves, we can hardly be about the role, the attitude, or the lifestyle of being a servant to others. And so God must work in our hearts and lives to uncoil us and open us up to what He makes possible for us to be and to do. Today we celebrate, among other things, St. Patrick's Day. When he was 16 years old, St. Patrick, well, before he became a saint, was captured from his home in Wales, and he was taken off, carried off as a slave to Ireland. Somehow he manages to escape, and he found passage home. And then eventually he enters a monastery. And he asks then to be sent as a missionary back to Ireland. And so he goes back to Ireland not to get even with the people that enslaved him, but to serve them. Isn't that incredible? He went from tribe to tribe, befriending people and preaching the message of the gospel. The Holy Spirit put that desire to be a servant into the heart of Patrick. And he puts that desire into our hearts and minds as well. And so I challenge myself and I challenge each of you today to be great, to be a servant in the kingdom of God, to be a great dad, to be a great mom, to be a great son, a great daughter, a great friend, a great member of the congregation, by being a servant one to another. The Lord calls us, equips us, and helps us do this very thing. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.